welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Thanks, Maggie. Hey, Mark. How are you?
Hey, Mike.
The identification of cardiac disease, particularly acute coronary syndromes, has undergone an evolution in the past decade or two. Now, cardiac troponin 1 and cardiac troponin T are relatively specific and sensitive biomarkers of cardiac injury. They are the preferred serologic test for the evaluation of patients who present with suspected acute coronary syndromes. Troponin assays with various sensitivities are available. This can be quite confusing. Some of the assays are rare point-of-care assays, and these are sensitive. Then there's highly sensitive troponin tests. These are available for clinical use throughout the world, but not yet in the U.S. So troponin testing is of greatest value in patients with suspected acute plaque rupture sort of coronary syndromes or other causes of acute injury, such as a PE or myocarditis. The criteria for troponin evaluation that defines an MI differs somewhat depending on the particular clinical circumstances and situation of the patients. But in most cases, the diagnosis requires that the serum or plasma troponin must be above the 99th percentile of the upper reference limit for normal, and there needs to be a rise or a fall of the troponin level that is observed in a clinical setting. So cardiac troponin concentrations usually begin to rise 2 or 3 hours after the onset of some injury. The most common setting in which troponin testing is performed is in patients who are suspected of presenting with an acute MI based on clinical information. So they come in, you clinically suspect it, and you order the troponin. You found a poem published in JAMA 2017. It begins on page 1913. The question that it's answering is troponin 1 concentration of less than 5 nanograms per liter at presentation useful in identifying adults with potential acute coronary syndromes at low risk of myocardial infarction or death? So how do we use this and what levels do we need to use? Mark, what did they find?
Yeah, and will we get to use it? Because the FDA has been looking at this for a little while. I have the feeling it is going to get approved in the near future based on some of the commentaries that I've been reading and looking at this. And I think it should be. I mean, I think there's really a growing body of evidence, you know, which this study summarizes, that these highly sensitive tests, and when I teach the medical students and residents, a highly sensitive test when it's negative rules out. So we call that a snout. And so these are highly sensitive. So that means almost everybody who's having an MI or acute cardiac syndrome has a positive test. So if it's negative, it rules out. And it also, as you said, the traditional troponins, you typically had to wait 2 or 3 or 4 hours for the rise. These you can see the rise as soon as an hour after the onset of symptoms. So they can also help you speed up the decision-making process. And there are various protocols. Some of them use a single measure. Some of them use two measures. These we're trying to standardize on troponin I of less than 5 nanograms per liter at presentation to the ED. So this is a systematic review. They did a careful search of a bunch of databases like PubMed and Cochrane, and they looked for prospective studies, which is important, prospective studies of diagnostic accuracy better than those that try to do a chart review, that looked at the accuracy of measuring high-sensitive cardiac troponin I to identify acute cardiac syndrome in adults who are at risk for MI or death. They did the usual meta-analysis stuff well. The patients with ST segment elevation, obvious MI on admission, or who presented in cardiac arrest were excluded. You don't need a troponin for those patients. A total of 36 articles with 22,500 adults with suspected acute coronary syndrome were included. And there were 19 separate cohorts in those 36 studies. They felt that the risk of bias was low in about half the studies and high in the remainder. High sensitivity troponin I was less than 5 nanograms per liter in 11,000 patients, so about half of those included. And the negative predictive value was 99.5% for MI. So that means at 30 days, only 0.5% or 1 in 200 who had that low of a 5 nanogram at presentation were diagnosed with an MI. There were no cardiac deaths among those 11,000 patients at 30 days. The negative predictive value for cardiac death at a year was 99.9%. So just to kind of recap that, if of these 11,000 patients who came in, suspected acute cardiac syndrome, but had a high sensitivity trope I of less than 5 on admission, they had 99.9% did not have a cardiac death in the next year, and none had a cardiac death in the next month. So that's really reassuring and tells us we can maybe take our time a little bit, not necessarily have to even keep them for a 23-hour admission. Mm-hmm. We can, you know, send them potentially once we've, you know, figured out what else might be going on. But many of those patients could probably go home and get worked up 2 or 3 days later, you know, very safely. And this gives us a lot of confidence in that.
Yeah, a couple of observations. One is I'm surprised that it's got such a high predictive value out one full year.
Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it? Yeah.
Right. I mean, presumably these are, you're not ordering this test on someone who presents with gastritis or something. So these are all people that clinically an ED doc or somebody has a high suspicion of having an MI. And the fact that it goes out a year is amazing. And the second is really a question, not a comment. Do you have any insight into why there is this delay at the FDA? What are they concerned about? Because this certainly seems like a no-brainer.
I'm not positive, 100% sure about this, but I believe it has something to do with calibrating the equipment so that you have a consistent cutoff for what is abnormal, and that it's the same. If you send a blood test to 10 different labs, you're going to get the same answer 10 out of 10 times. So I think part of it is that issue, and they want to make sure that it's reproducible. It's also the stakes here. You know, this is a high stakes decision, and it's not like a new strep screen. You know, this is a high stakes decision. So, and it could presumably lead to important changes in physician behavior, in, you know, patient outcomes if it's not done properly. So I understand caution. I think it's, they probably had enough time to figure this out by now. And that's why I say, I suspect, because it is being used in other countries, you know, successfully, I think the argument is strong enough now that hopefully we'll see it approved.
Good poem. Very educational. Thanks for talking us through that, Mark. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right. Looking forward to it.
Well, that's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to read this and other recent poems, please go to www.essentialevidence.com. And please join us again next week for another medical poem.